said, let's move on to John. Let me get my thoughts together here. I think I've covered everything. We had another great night up at Atwell on Wednesday night. We went up to pray for play. The worship team went up, and it's been a neat ministry that we've had to get to go up and lead worship, and the people up there always appreciate us coming in and doing that. And there was a speaker named David Jonas. I had not met him before, but he had a word that I'll tie into this, kind of like his whole message was about one word, and that was pretty much it, wasn't it? And then he blew on us and called it out in us and spoke it over us, and it's a good word. So turn with me to John 21. I was just meditating and waiting on the Lord this morning, and I get this word. This comes to me, and I'm like, oh yeah, where's that at? You know, I got to find this. So I find it, and it's this phrase where Jesus asks Peter, says, do you love me? He says, yeah, I love you. And then he gives him the funniest answer to that. So let's begin to read in verse 15 of chapter 21. It's the breakfast by the sea with Jesus, you know, okay? You know you're going to have a good day when you're out fishing and Jesus shows up. The stranger at first looks like a stranger on the beach, and then pretty soon he's in there making a fire and life gets good. And you haven't caught anything all night, and he goes, oh, just throw your nets over there. But we've been doing this all night. Just do it. And they get this big catch, because when Jesus shows up on the beach and gives you a little bit of instruction, you can make up for a lot of lost time. And the nets did not break. That's also just a little side miracle in all that, because they were big fishes. I think the number's even given someplace. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, this is Jesus cooking breakfast, by the way. That's got to be good. It's got to be good right there. Jesus, come and cook breakfast for me anytime. I love my wife's cooking, but this is an amazing story. He shows up and he makes breakfast. He starts the fire. He probably cheated and went, shh, you know, spark, you know, the first, what do we call our little clicky things? Yeah, lighters, whatever that's, you know, those. Points at it, click, instant fire. Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? Odd question. Simon, son, do you love me more than these? And I was revisiting. I love reading the Bible through all the phases of my life, because I get to go back and read it for the first time again. It always has this newness. Always a new, a whole new, like all of my life I've seen this, read this since you're in Sunday school. You hear these stories, right? And I show up and I look at this and new stuff's going off. I'm like, oh, wow, this is good. And then I ask the question, who are these? Like, do I love you more than these? What's these? These fishes, these stuff, these, what's these, you know? And there's a strong indication that the these are the other disciples. I'm like, dang, Jesus is into competition. I don't like competition, but he's inviting him to outdo. Like, it's an interesting concept. Think about it. Do you love me more than these? That doesn't even sound fair. But he invites you into this. If you're going to compete in anything in life, compete in this. Love Jesus more than the person next to you, which will translate into loving them more. So don't miss that. This is not a I love Jesus more and I detest you. Now, if that's what you got out of that, you missed. You know, wrong. But he asked this question, do you love me more than these? Oh, yes, Lord. Yeah, I love you. I'm a passionate man. I'm a passionate person. Everything I do with passion. I love you. And then he answers him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. Okay. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, tend my sheep. Then in verse 17, he said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. And then he goes on to say, most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself. And he begins to prophesy to him about the end of his life, which that's not relevant today, not for us. Let me read this out of my new Bible, my new Passion Translation. John 21, 15 through 17. The print is small in this, just warning you. Okay. After they had breakfast, Jesus said to Peter, Simon, son of John, bunny trails are bad, but I do have to say this. And I referred last week to, Phyllis said, why don't you talk about that, Rick? And I was saying how I pray over myself all the time, keep it on the down low, but I've overcome all kinds of things. Like earlier, when I was still a young adult, my doctor wanted to put me on blood pressure medicine. Like, I already had high blood pressure and stuff. I'm like, no, I'm not doing this thing because my mother was just like habitually sick. She'll live forever, but she was always sick all my life. Like, sorry, Lord, that was bad. She also led me to Jesus, so all is good and all is well. So early in my life, I was praying, I began to pray that my eyesight, because I always had to wear glasses since I can remember, that my eyesight would improve. And I'm at the point now it's been all my life, but my eyesight keeps getting better, and I don't know of too many people that happens with, to the point where I don't have contacts in, and often now I have to take my glasses off so I can see better. And it just keeps getting better and better to the point where I'm like, wow, I got to take these glasses off so I can see as I'm driving, as I'm whatever. And I was tempted the last time I got my license renewed to just go, could I try this once without my glasses on? Just almost did it for kicks. Almost like I'm tempted to just stop in just for kicks anyways. And I can read without glasses, and I've tried to correct things. I had contacts for a while, and then this was a problem, that was a problem. And my eyesight keeps getting better. Tom and Jesse was telling me about their daughters have been in this scenario of breaking their arms. I don't know what's up with that, but anyways, first Ariel and now Tempe. But Jesse was telling me as she's watching the x-rays, going back every week, looking, she went, it is so phenomenal how that bone, because that her arm broke up high, didn't it, Tom? Wasn't it real high? Ariel's. And so now Tempe's walking around with a sledgehammer. The Italian mallet, yeah, as John would call it. Boom. That's what when he smacks something with his fist, that's what he calls it. Italian mallet. Boom. And she said it was fascinating to see how it was healing. Like, to watch it, the x-rays, just in a week or two, the bone had just grown over. Like, it was actually a fast. And as she was explaining to me, I said, that's healing. And it's just an issue when we pray for people's healings, it's just a matter of speed. I went, maybe it's not that hard to pray for healings. It's just a matter of speed because healing's in us. We're created, it's in the design. Your body was created and made to heal. And then we pray to just speed. Expedite the process. And so healing is just fast because our bodies are healing. And actually, if we would eat better and do a couple simple things, more water, eat better, drink more water, get your rest and sleep, your body's an amazing creation. It's able to deal with all kinds of things and toxicity and da-da-da and poisons. All kinds of things your body can naturally deal with if you just treat it right and respect a couple things there. That was another bunny trail. So back to this. And I've lost my place. Peter answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I have great affection for you." Then he said, "Take care of my lambs." Jesus said, Jesus repeated the question the second time, "Simon, son of John, do you burn with love for me?" Peter answered, "Yes, my Lord, you know that I have great affection for you. Then take care of my sheep." Jesus said, then Jesus asked him again, "Peter, son of John, do you have great affection for me?" Peter was saddened by being asked the third time and said, "My Lord, you know everything. You know that I burn with passion. I burn with love for you. You know that I burn with you." And I think there's a call here. I believe that what Peter thought, like Jesus was really driving something in for him. And then it's interesting, the action is, feed my sheep. And I just heard that early this morning. I'm like, and it's not just for me as a pastor, it's for all of you. You all have sheep to feed. Matter of fact, how many of you have pets? Don't raise your hands. Okay. Or animals on the farm or whatever. And what's the primary thing you do with them? There are other things that come into play. You've got to trim their hooves and do this and do that and get them their vaccines and neuter them and spade them and you know, get them intelligent and whatever else we do. But the everyday thing that you do is that you feed them. You nurture them. I believe that God has placed naturally people in your way, in your path. I mean, the obvious one is when you end up with children. You have children. Oh, how'd that happen? And they're put in your life. And your primary role in their life is to nurture them and feed them naturally. There are other people, there are other things that the Lord has given you in all areas of your life. And the Lord would ask us, if you love me, feed my lambs. And then it's interesting in the as Brian Simmons translates this, and he believes, I was rereading this, he believes that like Matthew, he was Hebrew and he was writing this gospel primarily to the Hebrews at first, and so it would have been Aramaic because most of the New Testament we have in Greek, and koinonia is the form of Greek that it's in. I think that's correct. But the gospel, they argue about this because they argue about everything or discuss. They discuss what was the first letter written in. It may have been Aramaic, which was Hebrew. And so it's interesting by Brian Simmons has pulled out so many things because that's what he uses as his primary language to translate from when it comes to especially the New Testament and the Psalms and all those things that are so good. And so his footnotes on this is that this word love is equals to passion. And in the Aramaic, the word for love is huba. I shouldn't pronounce these words because I'm sure it's something to, and it means to set on fire. And then the question Jesus asks is, do you burn with fire for me? Do you burn with passion? And we heard the speaker, David Jonas, that was his message. He had a one-word message. Fire, you know, fire. Let fire come, fire. And he blew on us, and he prophesied that over us, and he declared that, and that's all he did was walk around and fire, 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 you know. He talked a little bit, but it was that. There needs to be fire in us, and it's that passion. And let's go over to Song of Solomon's, chapter 8, verses 8 through 6, 6 through 7, I'm sorry. Song of Solomon, chapter 8. Verses 6 through 7. We are called to live with passion. Whatever has stopped that in your life, it's an enemy of your soul. whether they're disappointments, whether they're hurts, pains, et cetera, whatever has happened, we're designed to live with passion. We're designed and we're called, and especially once we're born of the Spirit, we're called to be passionate people and have a passionate love. And Jesus was asking this of Peter, do you love me? Do you burn for me? Do what you have, or are you just another religion? Are you just going to be another religious fisherman, you know? The goal wasn't to just keep the rules. That was Paul. He was perfect at it. He was even, you know, he was even killing people over it. You guys are into, a false teaching, a false doctrine, so he started wiping out the church. You're off the leash. You're off the grid. So he started having people killed because he had the authority to do that and doing it with great zeal and passion. but it needed to be redirected. He was after. So he's a man of passion, but he was dialed in on the wrong thing. So it just needed a little tweaking. You know, every terrorist is a potential great evangelist. It's probably the best way to put it. We get that passion hooked up with truth, and you have a whole different, you have the Apostle Paul. So the passion is good, and it's a calling, and the Lord wants us to love him like that, love him with passion. And that's what's to be in us. That's what the Lord wants. That's why I believe he kept asking Peter. And then if you do, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. In the Aramaic, it was, the first one was feed my male lambs. The second one was feed my sheep. The third one was feed my ewes or female lambs. You can go wherever you want with that, but that's how that translates in the Aramaic. Make one sheep, lambs. But the expression of the love is to feed and to nurture. And then he wants us to have this passion. So you get to Song of Solomon and it says, fasten me upon your heart. This is the bridegroom talking to the bride, to the Shulamite. In this would be verse 6. It's verse 6 and 7. And again, I'm reading out of the Passion Translation. Fasten me upon your heart as a seal of fire forevermore. This living, consuming flame will seal you as my prisoner of love. My passion is stronger than the chains of death and the grave, all-consuming as the very flashes of fire from the burning heart of God. This place this fierce, unrelenting fire over your entire being. Rivers of pain and persecution will never extinguish this flame. Endless floods will be unable to quench this raging fire that burns within you. Everything will be consumed. It will stop at nothing as you yield everything to this furious fire until it won't even seem to you like a sacrifice anymore. And it's this call to be on fire, and the Lord is this fire. And so our love with him, once you're interacting with him, what is normal, what should be normal for us is to burn with this passion for him, to be in love. Like, we're loved passionately, and getting close to him will ignite a passion. Place a seal over my heart. It's like a prison cell for a love prisoner, but only in a good way. Passion equals jealousy. Envy's always sin, but jealousy can be a righteous thing. And the Lord is jealous over us. He's never okay when we love other things more than him. That's never an alternative. There's this call, and out of that you become fully alive, out of loving him first. And it takes a pursuit, because everything in our natural life wants to keep that quenched, wants to keep that fire quenched, wants to keep you at a low level. No fire at all, so there was just dedication. I'm loyal. I'm dedicated. I knew how to do that. But there's a call to live with passion, to live with fire. And that's why this second verse, even pain or persecution will never extinguish this flame. So I'm talking about a fire in you that even the difficulties of your life can't extinguish. So that's real fire. That's real fire. That's fire that burns from, burns strongly, vehemently. The burning heart of God, a most vehement flame. There were two words that made that up at the end of verse 6. And it says, it's a mighty flash of fire, and is one word. And the second word is Yah, which is the word for God. And so you put the two together, and you have the mighty flame of the Lord most passionate. Again, I can't pronounce the Hebrew Aramaic word there. So it's the combination of those things. And once that the fire needs to ignite in us. When the fire goes out, then we're bored. We get involved in other things to fill the hunger, what we're looking for. And it won't show up immediately, but in time, it will show up big time. And one day you'll wake up and go, how in the world did I get here? Because the fire, because the fire has gone out. And for a while, you can keep up the appearances of functioning and going and being. But at some point, one day you wake up and you go, oh, wow, I'm bankrupt. Like my inner fire is dead. Disappointment has gotten the best of me. Discouragement has gotten the best of me. Offenses have gotten the best of me. Things have come. They've happened. And like I said, you can tell me your story. I'll probably agree with you. Like, wow, yeah, it'd be tough. But we cannot afford the excuses in substitute for the pursuit of this passion, of this fire. I don't want to be a church, and I don't want to pastor a church that is not passionate. The problems aren't that much of a problem. But if we don't have passion, we got a big problem. If there's no love, we can deal with messes, that's fine. It's just messes are not a problem. But no passion, that's a problem. When a church has no passion, when a group has no passion, then you begin to turn on each other, or you just become disinterested. And it's really tough you can't steer something that's not moving. You can sit, as children, we played in the car, or the lawnmower, whatever, sit on there, turn the wheel, pretend like, make the noises like you're going, but you're not going anywhere. So no matter how far you turn the wheel, there's no movement in direction, right? Because why? Because the vehicle, the object is not moving. Cannot steer something that's not moving. So we need that movement. We need that fire, that burning, that igniting needs to take place. And let's look at Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. Matthew 22, verse 37. I was going to move on from here to talk more about feeding, but Kevin shared something with me, and I said, "Let's tag team. I want you to share the scripture that he shared, and it'll go perfectly with this." So let's look at just a few verses, and then I'll have Kevin come up. Matthew 22, verse 37, and everybody's there but me. Here we go. Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and the great commandment." So I often do this with myself when I'm like, am I doing enough of this, too much of that? Is this right? Is that wrong? And I go, if I love today, I'm good. Sometimes you just have to do that with yourself. You just have to encourage yourself, because if you focus too much on all the stuff, how many of you come to that day when you go, I don't think I can get anything right today. I woke up this morning and I am hosed. I'm in trouble. Doesn't matter what I do, everything's going to be the wrong thing. That's stress. That's pressure right there. Come to the place where you go, you just kind of, you have to step aside from that, because it'll just eat your lunch. And you go, if I love today, if I choose to love, if I love the Lord and I love people in my life, I just won. No matter what the outcome, if I love. And this commandment of all things, this is the God of the universe. This is the master of masters. This is the creator God. And here's the first commandment. Here it is. This is all of theology. It's all contained in this. The prophets, the apostles, everybody. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. How far can you break that down? How far do you need to break it down? I mean, that even makes sense in English. And this is where you may look, you go, I don't have passion, or I've lost my passion. This is where it starts. And often in worship, I have trouble talking and playing at the same time, so I try not to do too much. But I feel a lot of things. And we sing a lot of songs with the word, you know, Jesus, we love you. You know, we're, you know, we express part of our worship as we love the Lord. But I know it's hit all of you, like, how do you love the Lord? Like, how do you do it? And what if I'm not feeling love today? Now, I'm really messed up now, especially women. Probably, yeah, I know you're not getting this at all, but the men are, like, I totally get you, dude. Yeah. I'm not feeling the love, you know, but I'm commanded to love, but I'm not there, you know. I love my truck, I love my football team, I love, you know, a lot of things, but, you know, I'm having trouble conjuring that up for Jesus. But loving him, and this is why I've been paying attention, I've been hearing it in different speakers, choosing to love, here's how Jesus said, do you love me? Yeah, I love you. Then here's what you do. Do this. This verifies the love. Feed my sheep is what we're hearing today. Another time, if you love me, you'll do what? You'll keep my commandments. You cannot violate keeping the commandments and qualify for loving Jesus. You don't get to, I'm talking about practicing things that you know are against his word. Then that disqualifies you. You can say you love the Lord. You can even feel like you love the Lord. But if you're not keeping the things you know to be the commands, the black and whites of life, then you can say it all day. You can even feel it and have an emotion, but it doesn't get it. So it's very important for us, especially us men, to get this. Loving the Lord translates into hearing and obeying, and we choose that love. And even our men, even you as men, you know how to be, you know what passion is about things. You get all passionate about all kinds of things. It's just sometimes hard to get that dialed in to our walk with the Lord, with Jesus. But you can get there. You begin to interact with him and find him in the place that he meets you, you'll get plenty passionate, honest. When he becomes the one that's beside you and answers the prayers that you have and the needs that you have, and you meet and he meets you in your place, in the field, on the mountain, in the, you know, where you are and in the things of life that you need, you'll get passionate about him. He wants to draw you into that. If King David, the most phenomenal military, you know, Navy SEAL, deep, whatever he, you know, however you would qualify David, can be a passionate, he can love the Lord passionately, then he's the man's man of men, of men's men's, you know. He was passionate. And when he went to battle, you probably didn't want to come up against him. I guarantee you, you didn't. Even that big old giant that thought he had it all, you know, this is just a kid, this is a joke. Huh. I wonder what he was thinking as he, you know, boom. Passion, called to passion. Love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind. One last scripture, and then I'm going to have Kevin come up. John chapter 14, verse 15. I made a note to myself to read that out of my new Bible. John 14, 15. It's short. You ready? Loving me empowers you to obey my commands. Thank you, Kevin. That is definitely a boom. Loving me empowers you to keep my commandments. That's just how Jesus is. He's not a man. If you see a bad father, he will put his children in a place. I'm speaking very vaguely, but put his children in it, he'll set them up for failure. He'll give them impossible things to do. I've seen this. It's really bad. I know my fathers are not like that. My father's here. To purposely set up a child for failure, to put things on them that you know they're not going to succeed at, and then smash them when they fail. Ridicule them or destroy them. You see a lot of, it's showing up in our culture big time. Your father in heaven's not like that. I remember watching a father. I had a motorcycle once. It was an early life crisis. I don't know why I would do that, but I did. Why would you do that, Brad? I don't know. All of you other motorcycle guys. And if it's not a motorcycle, it's a gun. If it's not a gun, it's a fishing pole. You know, we always have our stuff. I have my stuff, you know. And I sold it, and this father and son came to pick it up. And as they were loading it, I'm just witnessing. It was just so obvious in this situation. I didn't know them. I have no clue what their name was. But the father was making fun of the son for not knowing how to tie off the motorcycle in the back of the pickup. And I remember observing this, like it was killing me to watch this son get ridiculed by his father in front of me. And I have been witty to the point of getting myself in trouble. So it's probably good I didn't say anything. But here's what I was thinking. Who taught him? Or who didn't teach him? I think like maybe if he can't tie a knot, that was your job. You failed. You know, you failed. You get the F. The son, who's just enthusiastic and, you know, happy about this, your father in heaven is not a father like that. He doesn't, sometimes we think that way, but it's not true. He doesn't set you up for fail. He sets you up for success. When he calls you to something, he sets you up so that you can. He calls you to something, he sets you up so that you can succeed. And loving him, it will empower you. Yeah. Pardon? Yeah. I don't know. He's back there. Turn on this mic, Samuel. So, Kevin, you want to come up and share? This ties in so perfectly.
Amen. So this morning, we've been praying before the meeting, and I had a vision. And I know it's for me, but I know it's for the house and many of you. So
that's good.
I just pray even now that the Lord would speak to your heart as an individual and as a body, and that we would respond, because there's a time of ministry in this. I mean, I could just feel it in my heart. And so in the vision, It's multifaceted, so maybe you guys can even help me discern through this. But the very first thing I seen was Jesus stirring a pot. And he truly is preparing us a meal. And there's a fire that's been started in our hearts. And many of you have this fire in your heart to love God. And it's almost like, I want to love you so much more, I just don't know how. And this is the scripture that the Lord showed me in this vision. And this is a prayer. This is a prayer that the Apostle Paul prays in 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 5. And make note of this and begin to pray this over your life. Prophesy this over your life because he begins out with the word now. He says, now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ. We even need the Lord to be led into the love of God. We can love God so much. I don't know if you've ever been so hungry or so lovesick to where you're so hungry for God, you starve your natural body. Right, you're so lovesick that you literally feel it on the inside of you breaking you down, like you are lovesick for God. And there's a striving to gain love, and there's a being led into love. And we need the Lord in this moment right now because he started a fire. You guys, there's a fire under this pot, and he's stirring up hunger, and he's stirring up desire, and he's stirring up love, and he's stirring up passion. But if we don't let the Lord lead us into love, we will be running on our own strength. And even the meal that he's preparing for us won't sustain us through the endurance that we need to follow him. So let this vision take root in your heart, because listen, if there is patient endurance, there's also striving endurance. If there's patient endurance, which this verse says, then there is striving endurance. And the second half of this vision was this, that I seen the Lord preparing us a meal. And there's a shelf along the wall with all the herbs and all the spices. And I turned around and I looked, and what the herbs were my dreams. My love, my fervency, my passion, my zeal, all the things that he has put in me were on this shelf. And as I began to turn and look at the things that were on the shelf, I didn't see my dreams up there anymore. And there's nothing more frightening than to have a dream that God has put in your heart and you can't see it any longer. I promise you that there's nothing more frightening than to have a burning, lovesick feeling. Maybe you were on fire at one time. Maybe you were lovesick. And you don't feel that right now. Looking at your shelf of spices, lovesick isn't one of them. And you may be being discouraged, and depression is coming upon you. And all these things, my shelf was completely empty. It looked like I had nothing to offer God any longer, nothing to say, nothing to feed anyone with, especially myself. And I turned around and I said, Lord, where are my spices? He said, son, I'm preparing you a meal. He's taking the very things that God has given you in the first place off the shelf, and he's making you a meal. He's taking your dreams and he's putting it in there and he's stirring it up. He's taking your vision. It's not on your shelf any longer. Stop looking to the shelf for your vision. Look to Jesus, because he's stirring it up in you again. But we need to be led into the love of God and into the endurance and the patience of Christ. Or we will look at our shelf and we will run to something else to feed us. Depression. If depression has gripped your heart, I know it has mine. I know that something has shifted in the atmosphere. Something has shifted. The fire is being put in me again, but depression, because as God is taking things off your shelf, I guarantee you the enemy is trying to put something in place of it. Your dreams are no longer on the shelf. They're in the pot, but I promise you, Satan knows that, and he's putting disappointment on your shelf. He's putting discouragement on your shelf. He's putting lack of knowledge on the whatever your thing is that God has taken off the shelf and put into your pot. The enemy has something just as equal in your eyes that he has placed on your shelf. And he wants you to look at those things and miss that God is stirring you up. And so even the word that we received on Wednesday in this vision today, this scripture, please pray this over your life. Pray this over your life like there's no other prayer being prayed in heaven right now other than this one. Now. Now may the Lord. It's today. It's right now in this present time that he would lead you into the love of God. And I promise you that when your meal is ready and the fire has brought everything together collectively to where your dreams don't outweigh your vision, that doesn't outweigh your stewardship, he's bringing it all together. He's making you a stew. And the final ingredient that he puts in that is himself. He mixes all of these things together, and the final thing that goes into your pot before you eat is Jesus, the Lamb of God, slain before the foundations of the earth. Get ready to eat. There's a meal being prepared for you. With every promise, with every prayer that you've prayed that you haven't seen, it's time to eat.